I haven't heard since Sue's on the line, so I better get my hymn book out. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help, your help, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Good evening.
Good evening.
Blessings to everyone.
Good evening, Apostle. How are you this evening?
By grace, well. Hope all is the same.
Good evening, welcome to the call. Good evening, welcome to the
call. Namaste. How's everyone percolating today?
All right, Brother Percolating, how you doing?
By the grace of God, we're holding on.
Middle of the road.
Pastor Kipe on?
I am. Good evening. Good evening, Steve.
Good evening. Good evening. Ready for a walk in the Word tonight? Good evening. It is 7:01 p.m. on this 17th day of September 2024, and we welcome each and every one of you to the call. Welcome to the 3 P's and E, praise, prayer, preaching, and equipping by teaching in accordance with Matthew 28:19-24. On the behalf of Gangsters Prayer, Tabernacle, Cabin Place Beyond the Wall, Out of the Box Ministries, Thursday in the Scriptures by Minister Mary Woodfield, we welcome you to our Walk in the Word. Going to begin our walk this evening with a prayer from Deacon Everett Henderson, followed by a song, and then the professor, Pastor Kipe, bring our word from Romans 10. We're ready.
Father God Almighty, we come to you this evening. God, we come praising you and glorifying you, for you are the one and only true and living God. You are our Father. You are our Creator. You are our one and our only source. And we glorify you and we adore you, God. God, we are grateful for this another day, God, that you have blessed us to assemble. We are grateful, God, that we've made it to this hour. Throughout this day, Lord, you've kept us safe and let any hurt, harm, or danger come near us, Lord. And Lord, you have just kept us in our right mind throughout the many changes that are going on in and around us. And we just want to thank you, God. Father, we seek your forgiveness for our sins, and we ask of you, God, will you remove anything that is not of you? We ask, God, please create us a clean heart, renewing us, Heavenly Father, right spirit.
Yes.
Father God, we are grateful and we are thankful that you loved us so that you allowed your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for all of our sins, that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly to the full, to the overflow. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have chosen us out of all your creation to deposit your spirit into us. And you also chose us to be made in your image and in your likeness.
Yes,
and that we are grateful.
Yes.
And God, as we your children, we go through this thing called life. There are many challenges that we have already overcome. We continue to trust and believe in you, God, that whatever challenges are before us, that we will continue to meet those challenges according to our Jesus, who gives us the strength each and every day, each and every moment. We thank you, Lord, for the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit, who speaks to us, who leads
yeah.
us in the way of truth, who helps us in our decision-making, who helps
thank
take
you,
control
Lord.
Of our and that so our emotions will not get out of hand and lead us in a way that is not pleasing to you. And God, we want to also thank you that you have given us teachers. You've given us ministers. You've given us pastors. You've given us apostles to bring the bread of life into us. We ask, God, your blessing upon them each. We pray, Father God, that you will bless them in their ministries that you have blessed them to be overseers over. We ask that you walk with them each and every moment as they
speak
your word, Lord. As they show kindness, as they try to help those that are in need, we pray that you will shield and protect them from the evil one, Lord. And Lord, we all need your help because the prince of the air, Satan, the evil one, he gets into the mindsets and he tries to destroy our faith. But Lord, we are come this far by faith and leaning on you because we know, God, that there's nothing too hard for you. We know, God, as we look back over our lives, we've overcome a lot of obstacles and we'll trust that you continue to walk with us. So, Lord, as we sit at this table to be fair to your word, to get better perspective, I pray that each individual on this line, Father God, will be blessed by the word tonight. I pray, Father God, for Pastor Kuiper, who will be bringing forth the word. I ask that you speak to him clearly, Lord, the message that you have given him. And I pray that you will anoint each of our ears and our spirits, that we will just humble ourselves, and that we will not only just hear, but that we will listen closely. And I pray that when we disconnect this line, Lord, that you will fill us even more with your spirit and give us the spirit of discernment and show us how to rightfully divide and apply your word into our lives. Anoint us, God, with the spirit of discernment. Please, Father God, anoint us with wisdom. And Lord, we forever glorify and praise you because you are our God. These things we ask of you, God, in the powerful and in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
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 Yes, Sister Zoo.
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. Welcome to the call.
Amen. Good evening.
Come this Father's Day.
Yes.
We are trusting in his holy word. He never failed us yet. Oh, sing it, Savior of ours, we'll come before our faith. Yes, we have come this far by faith. Yes, we believe on the Lord. We're trusting in his holy word. He never fails me yet. Oh, sing it, Savior, we'll come before our faith. Don't ever be discouraged when troubles come your way. He'll bear all your burden and turn all your night into day. Yes, we have come this far by faith. Yes, we lean on the Lord. We were trusted in his holy word. He never failed us yet.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Faith.
You come this far by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yes, God.
Yes,
we praise you, God. We glorify you, God. We thank you for all that you've done, Lord, for us. But we come this far by faith. In faith.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Yes. Leaning on the Lord.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Trusting in his holy word. He never failed me yet. Thank you.
All right.
And turn around. We come this far by faith. Thank you, sister. Hallelujah. It's ringing and ringing over in my ear. Hallelujah. What a blessing tonight to know that we've come this far by faith.
Oh,
and it will be faith that will lead us on this journey.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Deacon Connor, and for the prayer, Brother Everett, and for the song of praise, Sister Susie, as we enter into the word tonight, as we are walking by faith tonight, even through our journey through the book of Romans. Hallelujah. We thank for all the saints that have tuned in tonight. Those who are saints on the line, we thank you for your tuning in to hear the word of God as we walk through this word of God. We pray that all of you have had an opportunity to receive notes, and you have the handout that we're using, hallelujah, in our study session, which is a guide called Knowing God Through Romans. So as we're walking through this journey through the book of Romans, we are learning some things that Paul was trying to communicate to the church at Rome. Those things are relevant to us today. So we are studying, walking through this epistle to hear from heaven some of familiar passages of scripture we walk through, but to get even a deeper understanding and draw closer to our God. So as we go through the journey tonight, we want you to be thinking about the things that you may want to pray on and pray for based on what Paul is saying in the scripture to us, and the things that you know that you may need to pray for your life as you move forward in your journey. Just a few things I want to cover in retrospect. We have covered chapters 1 through 9. And the last couple of weeks, we dealt with the last part of chapter 8, and we moved into chapter 9 and did chapter 9. And tonight, of course, I have Dr. Deb to be our reader tonight. And as we go back and we team through the word of God, as we get toward the end, we also bring in our sister, Apostle Asai, to bring us on home in our understanding and study of what we're studying tonight in this chapter that we're covering tonight. But talking a little bit about chapter 9 in the last part of chapter 8, the Apostle Paul told us what we would suffer, and what we suffer could not be compared with the future glory that will be revealed in us when the Lord returns. We will suffer until that day of redemption when our bodies are redeemed and we are in a glorified state. Our salvation will be completed when Christ returns. And we are changed to our glorified bodies. We suffer. Yes, in this flesh, we suffer until then. Just like the whole creation is groaning we groan inwardly, and the Spirit intercedes on our behalf with wordless groans. We groan, and we speak through the Spirit, speaks for us, intercedes on our behalf. And through it all, we believe God is working for the good of us who love him. Saints, we can be confident that we are more than conquerors through the love of God. We know that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as we concluded that part of chapter 8, we moved into chapter 9, and Paul changes his tone from the pinnacle glory of God's love in the midst of suffering to a serious, heartfelt concern for his race, the Israelites. Yes, he was an Israelite. He was a Jew. So this was his race. This was his group of people. And he had heartfelt concern for them. Paul expressed the pain in his heart over his own race of people, the people of Israel. We too should feel the agony of pain, knowing that there are those of us who have not either heard the gospel or responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. God chose the Israelite and brought forth through their ancestry the Messiah, the Christ. God is sovereign, and he chose and he elected Abraham's offspring to be blessed. So Abraham, or should I say Paul, explains how God chose Isaac and Jacob not because they were deserving of being chosen or being special, but rather it was God's sovereign choice. It was his choice to choose these people to be his people. Likewise, we as believers are subject to God's sovereign will. God is all powerful, but he is also merciful. He blesses whom he chooses to bless, and he will curse whom he chooses to curse, because he's a sovereign, almighty God. He withheld his wrath while calling Jews and Gentiles to receive him by faith, just as Abraham received God into his life by faith. The majority of Israel continues to choose the law as their way to righteousness, which they have not and cannot attain. They rejected Christ, who became a stumbling stone for them. They tripped over Christ. They didn't see him as Messiah, and they tripped over him. And so many of them, the majority of them, did not receive the gospel or the message of Christ. Only a remnant of Israel and the Gentiles who believe in Christ will be saved. We, as believers, will never be ashamed because of Christ. Christ in us, our hope of glory. So tonight, my brothers and sisters, as we move into session 10, chapter 10, we continue our walk through this wonderful, glorious book of Romans, written by Paul at the end of his third missionary journey. Paul wrote this letter. An apostle continues to pour out his heart in chapter 10 to his fellow Israelites. Can you imagine that he was reading it? As we go through it, we want to imagine in our minds and our hearts, just like it was being read to them, we are reading it ourselves and it's being read to us. Just imagine this. He was going through all of these things of justification, sanctification, glorification, the righteousness of God imputed to us, put in our account, not because we deserve it, but because of the blood of Jesus. Because of Jesus Christ, we have been declared righteous and been justified before God. My brothers and sisters, even as he gets to these chapters here, chapters 9, 10, and 11, I only could imagine as he's turning his face toward his brothers, his race of people, he's addressing them, and they are understanding what he's saying. I wonder how they felt about what they heard. When you think about it, we are Gentiles, so we see it maybe a little differently. But put yourself in the place of Jews who righteousness was of the law and by the law. And let's see what Paul has to say. We know that many of the Israelites struggle to believe in the way of righteousness that is attained through faith in Jesus Christ. They pursued the law as their way of righteousness before God. But Paul lets us know in this chapter, we're going to see that Christ is the completion and fulfillment of the law, so that there must be righteousness for everyone who believes in him. He'll give us some examples, and he'll share some things with us as he talks to them, as he's writing to them, and as he's writing to us. Paul says that the righteousness by faith is near us, near everyone. Even those that you know that haven't accepted him, that righteousness by faith is near them. And then we'll learn what we must do in order to receive that righteousness or to be declared righteous before God. We'll talk about our confession of faith and what we believe. So I don't want to talk too much more about that, as I want to bring Dr. Deb in as she comes and enters, as she begins to read, but as she gives us her thoughts, we want to hear her as she shares the reading of chapter 10 as we walk through it tonight. Dr. Deb.
Good evening to my brothers and sisters that are joining us on this beautiful Tuesday evening with our walk in the Word as we go to Romans chapter 10. Tonight we will be reading both from the Amplified Translation as well as the Contemporary English Version on tonight to bring clarity as we read the Word of God. Pastor Reggie, thank you for this walk. On last week, Romans chapter 9, it brought conviction to me, as well as the need to do even more as we share the plan of salvation, how anyone can be saved. And that's where we are tonight. Anyone can be saved. So if Amen. You are joining with us this evening, take the opportunity with your pen and your paper and write down names of people or groups of people that you know that you as a disciple of Christ need to take the good news to, the gospel to. For tonight we will provide to you, and you already know what needs to be done, but we want to encourage you tonight. Write those names down, whether it's your children, your grandchildren, your niece, your nephew, your next door neighbor, your coworker, or even your enemy. Write those names down tonight that you know that you need to go to and share with them the good news, the plan of salvation, keeping in mind, one, all souls matter, and keeping in one that anyone can be saved. So, Pastor Kuiper, we go to the Word of God, penned by Paul, Romans chapter 10. Brethren, with all my heart's desire and goodwill for Israel, I long and pray to God that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a certain zeal and enthusiasm for God, but it is not in line and according to correct and vital knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that God ascribes, which makes one acceptable to him in word, in thought, and deed, and seeking to establish a righteousness, a means of salvation of their own, they did not obey or submit themselves to God's righteousness. Notice, you all, Paul not only has a of compassion for his people. But notice what he does. As we have asked, he prayed for them. He acknowledged that they had a zeal, Pastor Kuiper, an enthusiasm for God. But that zeal and enthusiasm for God was not according or was it or not correct as it aligned to what God wanted them to do. They were ignorant of the righteousness that God ascribes. And you all, a note to be taken tonight. This righteousness that we speak of is one that is acceptable to God, both in word, both in our thoughts, and both in our deeds. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law, the limit at which it ceases to be. For the law leads up to him who is the fulfillment of its types, and in him the purpose which it was designed to accomplish, it is fulfilled. That is, the purpose of the law is fulfilled in him as the means of righteousness. And we know, you all, the righteousness is the right relationship to God. For everyone who trusts in and adheres to and relies on him. What a word tonight to add to our vocabulary, the word righteousness, being made right with God through the finished works of Jesus at Calvary, not by keeping the law. Verse 5, for Moses writes that the man who can practice the righteousness, perfect conformity to God's will, which is based on the law with all its intricate demands, shall what? Live by it. But the righteousness based on faith, we have come this far by faith. The righteousness that is based on faith, that means imputed by God and bringing right relationship with him, says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. And Pastor Kuiper, I'm going to read verse number 7 and go over to you. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead, as if we could be saved, notice this, by our own efforts. And we know we cannot be saved by being keepers of the law. We cannot save ourselves by our efforts. For tonight, we shall see. We shall be able to testify how we were saved and how we can share this same plan of the good news of Jesus Christ. Pastor Kuiper.
Amen, Dr. Deb. But I was listening as you were reading. Oh, my. I began to think about how they were receiving what Paul was saying. Yes, as a message to us, the message was to them as Israelites. And Paul, realizing their unbelief, many of them, trying to seek a righteousness that was by the law. And I think that Paul's heart desire and his heartfelt concern for them was based on the fact that one time Paul was just like they were. Listen to me. Paul had a zeal for Israel. Even if he didn't have it with the right knowledge, he went around persecuting the church, persecuting the Christians. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death. Yes, he had a zeal. But God took that same zeal and converted him on that road to Damascus, that now he had a zeal, but it was based on the revelation of who Christ was to him. And I just could imagine that. So that's some of the thoughts that I think when I see this. he's telling them, hallelujah, that they did not know the righteousness of God. See, this is not the righteousness that God has himself. This is the righteousness that God imputed to people, that he gives to us. Yes, Abraham was declared righteous. It was imputed to him by God. Hallelujah, because he believed God. He had faith in God. And Christ comes as Messiah, and he becomes the end of the law. He becomes the fulfillment of the law. And everything about the law is in him. He became our sacrifice. We don't have to take animals to be sacrificed for our sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God through his blood. Listen, Moses writes about this righteousness that is by the law. He said, if you're going to live and you're going to be righteous before God with the law, you must keep that law, perfection. You must have perfection in keeping the law, something that they could not attain. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, I can ascend up to heaven. That is, somebody has to go up to bring Christ down. Or who would descend into the deep? Somebody has to bring Christ up from the dead. This is spoken about, hallelujah, in our Old Testament text. Amen. It is spoken about in Deuteronomy chapter 30 as Moses was talking to the people about ascending to heaven and who can ascend and who can go across the waters of the sea to the deep. That's a work that you have to do. In this text right here, that always caught me off guard, Dr. Dev. What is he really referring to? He's referring to an effort that you would have to do to try to bring salvation or righteousness to your life. You can't go up to heaven and bring Christ down. Christ came down because God sent his son. You can't go down to the depth and bring him up, for God resurrected his son from the dead. But it's nothing in your effort that could bring salvation to your life. But let's go on, Dr. Dev, and see what else Paul has to say, and if any thoughts that you may have to add as we move forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Reggie. One of the things I want to say tonight is this, that people cannot come to Jesus without the right information about the gospel. And we have to also understand, but information alone is not enough to save anyone. There has to be, there must be a radical submission to the righteousness of God and putting away our own righteousness. We have to understand, we have to give people the right information in terms of making a sincere declaration that Jesus is their Savior and that Jesus is their Lord. But that is not enough. That person has to take on the responsibility of saying that I cannot work for my salvation. I cannot do enough. I cannot keep 600 plus laws so that I can be able to say, look what I did. Look yes. How I saved myself. But what we have to understand as disciples of Christ, that we have misinformation that is out there that is telling people people that they can work for their salvation, that is telling people that there is no hell, is telling people that everybody's going to go to heaven. We as disciples have to be well grounded in the word of God, that it is transforming us to be the disciples so that we can carry correct information, carry information that lets people know there is a responsibility that they have to take. My grandmother was saved, but my grandmother could not transfer her salvation to me. It's a personal declaration that I have to make, a responsibility that I have to make, a submission and a surrendering that I have to make as well. So I want to just make that point tonight, is understand as we go through and look at the requirements of salvation, and also understand as you've written your notes down tonight, those people in your family that you know that are not saved, people in your family that you just need to go through the plan of salvation again to make sure. Because I will say this, we have people that have been baptized, they've been baptized but do not know Jesus. They do not know Jesus. They felt the pressure. They felt, I need to go give the preacher my hand, but have not made a true confession of Jesus Christ. So tonight, as we continue this, the word, reading the word and dissecting the word, you can know that without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved. If you are called tonight to go from the land of the dying, because that's where we are, to the land of the living, you'll know that you can be with Christ Jesus. Let's go on. Verse number 8. But what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ, is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That's a major word we're going to look at tonight, heart. That is the word, capital W-O-R-D. The message, the basis and object of faith which we preach. Because if you acknowledge and confess, I'm at verse number 9, if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart, that's another part here, we got to keep this in mind, your lips and in your heart believe. Now, what does this word believe mean, Minister Deborah? It means to adhere to, to trust in and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There must be a heart change, a heart transformation. You got the lips that is engaged to what has happened on the inside. Verse 10, for with the heart, a person believes, here's that word again, believe, meaning to adhere to, trust in, and rely on Christ. And so is justified. That's one of our vocabulary words. That means, justified means declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he, she, confesses. What does that word confess mean? Declares openly and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. The scripture says, no man who believes in him, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in him will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. I am not ashamed. I am a disciple of Christ, and I have made the sincere declaration. I know that I have been changed. I know that I have moved from being sinner to saint. I know that I have moved from being unforgiven to forgiven. I have moved from being unredeemed to redeemed. This means when we make this sincere declaration and we align our lives to the will and the way and the word of God, that we can be triumphant, we can be more than conquerors, but most of all, we will know that we will live with God forever, that we have eternal life. This is not joining the choir. This is not the first step of salvation is being an usher, but this is the first step, the lips and the heart and the believing, the confidence and the trust in God. I keep reading. No one, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all of us, and he generously bestows his riches upon all who call upon him. And notice that word, call upon him in faith. You're right, Pastor Reggie. It was Abraham receiving the righteousness, being made righteous with God, not by the keeping of the law, but by the faith that he had. It is by faith. You have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. You have to believe this. You have to trust it and walk it and have confidence. And no matter what nobody says to you, you have to know this without a shadow of a doubt. Here's the other thing. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, that means invoking him as what? Lord. Not just your Savior, but Lord will be saved. It just said might. It says, we'll be saved. But how are people to call upon him whom they have not believed in, whom they have no faith, on whom they have no reliance? And how are they to believe in him, adhere to, trust in, and rely upon him, of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men be expected to preach unless they are sent? That's both men and women, unless they are sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. How welcome is the coming of those who preach the good news of his good things. But they have not all heeded the gospel. For Isaiah says, Jesus, who has believed, Lord, who has believed, have faith in what he has heard from us. Let me read that verse 16 again. But they have not all heeded the gospel. But Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed? Who has had faith in and what he has heard from us? So faith comes by hearing. That is what is told. And what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed, they have. For the scripture says, their voice, that of nature bearing God's message, has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the four bounds of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? Did the Jews have no warning that the gospel was to go forth to the Gentiles, to all the earth? First, there is Moses who says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown, I have revealed myself to those who did not consciously ask for me. But of Israel, He says, all day long, I have stretched out my hands to a people unyielding and disobedient and self-willed to a fault-finding, contrary, and contradicting people. Paul tonight speaks to us. He lets us know that anyone can be saved, not by working for it, but notice as we look at the requirements, the engagement of the mouth, but the major engagement of the heart, the need for change, and to know someone has received Christ, we begin, Pastor Reggie, to see progressive change in their speech, in their conduct, in their faith, in their love, in their purity. Pastor Reggie.
Amen. Amen. Powerful, powerful, powerful chapter. I just want to take this, make this statement, Dr. Dev, and want to make sure that we do understand that Paul had the utmost respect for the law, even as he spoke in the previous chapter that the law is holy. The law is blessed. And if it wasn't for the law, we would not know that we had sin. The concept, as you said, Dr. Deb, is to understand that our righteous standing before God is not predicated on our ability to perfectly keep the law. The Israelites couldn't do it. They always failed, and even fell into sin and idolatry that caused them to be even brought into captivity. So we must understand that the law is good and the law is holy. But the keeping of the law, we cannot get righteousness and right standing before God based on our ability to keep the law. Paul is clear that Moses has said to them that you can live by the law, but you also can die by the law. You can go through the process of trying to keep the law, and that may be your way and path to righteousness, but you would not be able to attain it. It's only through the grace of God that we have faith, and we're saved by that grace through faith, that gift that God has given us to put us in right standing before him through the blood of Jesus Christ, that atoning sacrifice through Christ. And he's letting us know that this salvation, this right standing before God, this justification is close to us. And I love it when you were expressing the points of salvation, Dr. Dev, and as you were talking and hearing that we must have this transformation. We must confess that Jesus is Lord. We declare that with our mouth. And when we are declaring that, we are agreeing with God that that is his son, that is our Savior, that is our Lord. He is all of that. Jesus is Lord. So we're agreeing with the fact that he is who he said he is. And then we believe in our heart, in that most innermost part of our being. We believe. We believe in our heart, in the essence of who we are. We believe our spirit. We believe, we agree with God that he is Lord. And we agree in our spirit, we believe this and we rely on him. And in that belief, we are trusting in God to help us to live the holy life that we're talking about. So it's through God and the Holy Spirit that Christ has sent back to us that we're able to walk this out. So we are justified by faith, but we must walk into the beauty of that holiness of sanctification, because we know that we confessed it and we believe that in our heart it transforms our life. We become new creatures. We don't normally live the way we did. Yes, some of us lived lives that were not pleasing to God, but now that we have been justified before him, we have the grace to live and try to walk before him, doing his will because we have the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of part of some of the things I think in the next chapter, but just talking about some that's here.
Yes,
anyone
yes.
who believes in him will never be put to shame. I have
yes.
never been ashamed of the gospel. Oh, yes, after I came to the Lord, I've never been ashamed of the gospel. We are not ashamed. We are saints of God. We are believers, and we stand strong. There are those who won't believe. And it's really kind of sad as he's pleading, sort of trying to get them to understand that the knowledge that they have of the law is good, but yet they can't earn the righteousness of God. He can't
yes.
impute the righteousness to them. They must come by the way of faith to receive this righteousness. And as you read through that, there's so much here, and I hope there's some others that they're listening, and even when we turn it to Apostle Asai, that she would add some thoughts here, and someone could add some other thoughts. But you know that the same Lord is Lord of all, and he blesses all who call upon his name. So everyone, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yes, yes.
And it goes into the part about hearing that
yes.
message, Dr. Deb, that preacher.
Yes.
I want to say to all the saints on the line, we have certain people who step into a gifting of an office. But, Dr. Deb, as you mentioned many times, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, sincere declaration of our faith, we are all commanded
yes,
to
yes.
go and teach and share the gospel with everybody. So
yes.
the preaching here is not pulpit preaching.
Come on.
This is the sharing of the gospel. When we share it, we herald it, we speak it to people, we share it with them, we give them our testimony, and we tell them this good news about Jesus. We
yes.
are, in essence, preaching the gospel. We
Come
are
on.
Preaching to them. And we are sent forth as believers to go forth to share this with everyone, wherever you are, whether you are in the grocery store, if you're working on a job, wherever God has planted you in your walk and vocation is a place. Now, sometimes there are governmental things where they don't want you to be evangelizing on the job, but there's still a way that people will be drawn to you because of your
yes.
faith and belief in your life. I've had it happen, and I know Dr. Devin and Private Apostle and many have had people drawn to them because of their walk before God, and they sought salvation. They
yes.
want to know what it is that you have that they don't have. Yes, we all got problems, but we all got trouble. But why is it that you can walk through it with a smile on your face?
Yeah, yeah.
Yet happiness comes and goes, but yet
joy
comes from the Lord.
Yes.
And we got to have that joy. You know, so if we know that we are sent, everyone, all of the saints on the line, knowing that there's someone that you can minister to. And when you see people, Dr. Deb, you said it so beautifully. People are trying to work. They're on the usher board. They're in the church. They may be in the choir. They're doing all of these things. Those things are good.
Yes,
but
yes.
they can't get you right before God. That's
Come
not
on.
How you get declared righteous. You must have faith in who he is. You profess
yes.
who he is. Jesus
yes.
is Lord. We have to say that. Jesus is Lord. I have to say that. You know, Jesus is Lord. And
yes.
I believe that God resurrected him from the dead. In my heart, my being, I feel it. You know, sometimes you may try to go through this experience. You may not have that aha moment. But if you keep walking, keep seeking him, he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. And if you profess him, he will bless you with his Holy Spirit. Listen, the Israelites, not all of them accepted this news. Isaiah spoke it. So Isaiah prophesied that they would not receive this. All of them
yes.
would not receive this. And we can see that what Paul is also letting them know is that all of his fellow Israelites, his race, his people would not receive this. And I want to emphasize again today, all that are in Jerusalem, in Israel, they are not following Christ. All of them are not. Listen, let me give y'all a little statistic. I just want to throw this in because I saw this as I was digging up stuff. Across this world, there's approximately 15 million people, Dr. Deb, who consider themselves Jews. Some of them are atheists, but about 350,000 of them are believers in Jesus Christ. So out of 15 million professed Jews, only 350 are professed believers. And I'm getting a little head because that lets me know that it's only a remnant. It's only a remnant of them.
Yes.
And of the Gentile nations, there's even more. So there's only a remnant that will hear this gospel. And it's not our responsibility to worry about whether or not they receive it, because there is the grace of God, but there is the human responsibility of receiving the gift of God. So we don't necessarily do works, but we receive the gospel. We take it into our hearts. And so, therefore, our responsibility is to receive it, to believe it. Listen, when Israel was established, well, let's talk about Israel today. I just want to throw this out there because some of y'all may be thinking about Israel today. There's approximately 9 million people who are in the nation state of Israel that was established in about, what, somewhere around 1947. There's about 9 million people that live in that nation state. And about 6.5 million of those are Jews. You know, all of them not Jews over there. But out of those 6.5 million Jews, approximately 300,000 of them are believers. So that is the majority of those that are Jews across the world that are believers. 300,000 is all. There's a remnant. There's a remnant. But Christ is coming back. He's going to return, and he will deal with that. We can talk. We don't want to get into Revelation, some of the other things, but we understand that those that receive this gospel by faith will be saved. So Paul is hammering that home. He's using scripture references. He's trying to hammer that home. And because they rejected it, the voice had gone out through the earth, through all the prophets, their words to the end of the world. They shared God's message. Israel did not understand. Did Israel understand? Then he quotes Moses saying, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. The Gentiles didn't have the law. They never had a way to salvation until the gospel came to them. So they didn't know anything about this. But those Gentiles who receive the gospel and believe the gospel by faith, they are saved. There is no difference between the Jew or the Gentile. All must come by the way of faith, faith in believing in Jesus Christ, the profession of Jesus as Lord, and receiving it in our hearts. Nobody is any different. You know, I think about that sometimes because, you know, we don't want to get too heavy into doctrinal things, but I think about that sometimes. So we know that I feel that our responsibility is that Matthew 28:19-20 sincere declaration, Dr. Deb, that we are to go forth, Apostle S.L., we are to go forth to share the gospel. Yes, there's other things that we do as believers.
Yes.
But to get the word, we are to share that, and it spreads throughout the earth and throughout the world.
Yes.
My prayer and my hope that we will continue to do that when we can. It may not be that you have a whole group of people that you get to speak to. It may just be one that you share this gospel with.
Yes.
And they know that they can confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord. See, that the heart. See, God doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looked at the heart. And we don't know the heart of everybody. But we can share the gospel. It's up to them to receive it. Are rejected. But let's do our parts as saints of God. Yes, Paul is trying to let them know that they are trying to get there by the law. And because of that, God is always holding his hands out. I love the way this ends. He's always holding his hands out. Can you imagine just holding your hands out like you're trying to receive, or you're trying to receive someone to come to you? He's saying, come, let whoever will, let him come. Let him receive this gift of eternal life. But a disobedient people, an obstinate people, they were, many of them. But there was some, a remnant that received. I'm going to stop there. Hallelujah. Dr. Deb, if you have other thoughts, I want to open it up to who all have a thought. Apostle Aside, if she can work her way in here and share some thoughts that God is speaking to her through the Spirit of God through this text. Hallelujah.
Just a comment, Pastor Kuiper. Thank you for that visual, because I saw the same visual today as I was in my office studying the message. I saw the hands of Jesus, and I saw his hands pierced, and he was holding his hand out saying, come. Anyone, doesn't matter whether you are the prostitute, doesn't matter whether or not you are this, that, whatever, he is saying, come. The one point I want to make, another point I want to make tonight is this, is that as you talked about ministers, and you talked about carrying the word, and you talked about carrying out the mandate of Matthew 28 as we look at it, 19 through 20, the mandate, the assignment that we have been given as disciples of Christ. And that's why we have Tuesday walk in the word, Thursday walk in the scriptures, Sunday morning is to prepare and to build and to train disciples to go forth and carry this good news. I want to say this, and you made a great point. I want to remind us, somebody might be saying, well, I'm not called to minister. Well, I want you to write this scripture down. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. It talks about us bringing people to God. It talks about that we are called to be ministers of reconciliation. We are called to go forth and tell others that Jesus lives and that Jesus continues to save. So we are all called to be ministers. I don't care where you are. You are called to be a minister of reconciliation. Let me give you that scripture again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. Go back and let us go back and read it. I have to read this over and over myself, because Pastor Kuiper, right there in those verses, it lets me know that I am to carry this message of peace. I'm to offer it, this message of forgiveness, to the people of this world. It tells me I'm to share this message about peace. It tells me that I am to speak for Christ. And I'm also to let others know that the past is forgiven when they give their lives to Christ Jesus. But this, you all, is not an intellectual agreement, that something happens in our minds with the facts of the cross and the resurrection. That is not enough. We must believe in our hearts, and then there must be an accompanying action that goes along with it. We believe everything which the Lord Jesus has taught, but we must go a step further and we must trust him. I do not have a plan B. I trust God all the way. No matter how it may look to me with my physical eyes, I have to see it with my spiritual eyes. My faith has to come alive. We must believe on, not just in him, but we must believe what? On him. The faith that saves is not just believing certain truths, nor even believing that Jesus is the Savior, but we must rest on him. We must depend on him. We must put all of our weight on him and believe that he can save us, and to know that he has saved us. We have to depend on him without any fear. Yeah. without knowing that I have eternal life, that I'm going to live with him. But here's something else that a picture came to mind. I thought about Philip and the eunuch. And remember when Philip left a high time where he was to go to a desert? Somebody on this line has been called to go to a desert. What does that mean? Just that you said, Pastor Reggie, one-on-one ministry. It is not about having to be in a pulpit, an elevated place. But Jesus is calling us to go to desert places.
Yes.
Where that woman is on the street. Where that woman has been out there all night long. She's laying on a bench. And let me tell you something. If you want to break through something like that, offer them something to eat. Offer them some water. And don't condemn, but go there with the redemption message, but then go, and guess what? You can make some inroads. I know what I'm talking about. So when it talks about this salvation, you got to love. See, love is what causes us to go. Love doesn't draw up and say, you know what, you know, I'm not going to go to them. I'm not going to go to them. All of us got somebody in our family that need to hear this redemption message. Here's the other thing, Pastor Kiper. We're going to go over to Apostle Atside. Like I say, I saw Philip here in this lesson running to give a message to one-on-one ministry. One-on-one. And he sees this man reading. And this man, you all, was of class. Because back then, you know, everybody didn't have the word, but he was reading it. And he was a part of a large staff. He had a position. And I want us to know something. While a person sits in the mayor's seat, the president's seat, prime minister's seat, they still need to know Jesus. Because if they die, there is no prime minister section. There is no president section. There's no vice president section. So if they don't know Jesus, we know where their home is going to be. Tonight, those names that you have put on that list, don't just write those names down, but ask the Holy Spirit to show you how you can minister to them, how I can minister better to those I come in contact with. How I can better see their soul and see them the way Jesus sees them. Again, what else do I see? As a minister of reconciliation, as you spoke to us tonight, Pastor Reggie, is that I got this feet thing. That means we got to put some action behind it, some activity behind it, some motion behind it. And understand that this is a process. Once salvation comes, we got a lot of work to do. That's why many times we see revolving doors in our churches. We have to do the work. They come and give their lives to Christ. That's just the first part of it. What about living holy? What about teaching them how to live holy? Most of all, not just teaching them, but living in front of them. How to live righteous lives. How to be faithful, how to trust God. So tonight is so much more that I see here, is that this is just a first step, but it's so much more. But we want people, as you used to say, Pastor Kiper, we want them to be thirsty. Thirsty to live the way God wants them to live. Thirsty when they mess up, that they know how to go to 1 John 1:9. Somebody need to write that down tonight. I got it in big letters. They need to know that when they are on their way to Atlanta, and they know they headed to downtown Atlanta, they headed to, let's just say, Marietta, to Truett, over there to the ball stadium, and they get off in Jackson, Georgia. They need to know how to get back on the route to take them to where they are going. They should be heaven bound. And we have to help people understand how to get back. So Pastor Kiper, thank you again.
Yes.
That lets me know my feet got to be active. My feet, but guess what? Before my feet get active, my heart's got to be engaged. I got to get into this word to know how to share and be ready at any time. That's all I got, Pastor Reggie.
Amen.
Come on, Apostle Esai. Come on,
Oh, you just started something, Dr. Derek. I can't let you walk out of there. Apostle Esai, excuse me, because I know you try to get in here.
Go ahead.
I just want to read this. I'm just going to read this text. I'm just going to read a text because it's in my spirit. I just want to read it from Galatians. Galatians 3:10. Y'all can write that down. Galatians 3:10-14. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a pole or a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus,
yes,
who that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say it like
this.
Listen, I'm gonna say this, and I'm going to get out of the way because I just wanted to read that because that's so powerful as we can see Paul writing and tying those things together. And I was just going to say, and when I read that, we understand that when we have the law says do. But when we have the gospel says it's done. Go ahead, Doctor. Go ahead. Go ahead, Apostle. Go ahead, Apostle.
Amen. It's all good, y'all. It's all good.
Amen.
I thank God for the teachings that I've heard on the Word of God. And it is all good. I was listening to Dr. Singleton as she was giving us scripture for everybody that is a child of God that has been born again. Those that have received the Spirit of God, we have responsibilities. The grace of God and the new covenant, he made it so simple for us, but it does not alleviate the responsibility that We must come. We must believe. He said, he that cometh to him must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we've got to come after hearing the word of God. There's got to be a response. We have to follow the instructions. But in Acts 1:8, it says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and this is to every believer, after the Holy Ghost have come upon you, you shall receive power.
That's
and
right.
And go on to say that we should be witnesses.
That's right.
So we all have that responsibility. And who are we witnessing of? We're witnessing of Jesus, the Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, has redeemed us from that curse of the law. And so when we have received power, and it takes the Holy Spirit to make us effective in our witness. But he said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem. I like
come
to
on,
think of that as our own home.
Here
in our own home, in Judea, spread out into the neighborhood and into the community. And we just, Samaria, and go on out, stretch out a little bit further. As Dr. Singleton said, we all not going to have to go to the desert. We all don't have the same calling, but for those areas, our homes and our neighborhoods and our communities and our workplace. And we know we are limited today about how much we can do in the workplace. But as Pastor Kuiper said, you know, even on the job, when God has set us in different places and has given us assignment for different people, he will find a way to bring those people to us that we can minister to them, that we can start in our homes and we can spread out to our communities, our neighborhoods, and we can just keep spreading on the job, in the grocery store. Mm. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. After we have been baptized with the Spirit of God, of the Holy Spirit, then we will be anointed to do those things. And all of us have different offices, different jobs, and there are some things that all of us have the same we must do, but then there are differences sometime in what God has called individuals to. But we all have a responsibility that have been told about Christ and have received Christ. We have a responsibility, just like the people that ministered to us had a responsibility to us in turns, and we have a responsibility to others. And so it's not just because you don't have a license as a minister or, you know, a prophet or whatever the office is, we still have a responsibility after we've come to Christ to give that good news of Jesus Christ to others. And just wanted to add that to the scripture she had. We need to, if we know about him, we need to talk about him. We need to tell about him.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a time when God, when the scripture said that there were people that did not wish to retain God in their knowledge. You know, they didn't want to know about him. They didn't want to share it with nobody. They wanted to keep it quiet, you know. And so there are people sometimes, they don't even know why they don't like you when they see you. They just don't like you.
My Lord.
And a lot of time it's the spirit that they can feel and sense. It's something about you they don't quite understand. I was going out of the back door of my complex, and there was a woman coming in and said she was 83 years old. And as I attempted to go out, she just kind of come in. So I said, she's a little bit older, so I backed up and I allowed her to come in. And when she got right along by me, she just, like, she was so angry, like she jumped at me, like she wanted to fight. And I'm like, what? And sometimes they recognize the Spirit of God. They don't know what it is, but it's something that just rubs them the wrong way. But we have that responsibility, and we know that there are, everybody's not going to receive us. But it is our responsibility. And again, grace did not relieve us of our responsibility to tell the good news, to witness that people might have that information. They may have the right knowledge because, as Paul said here, they have a zeal. And there are so many people today with religious zeal.
That's right.
Some of them, They in love with going to church. Some
That's right.
In love with dressing up on Sunday. And like I hear people now, you know, they don't see that. You know, they talk about how to come to church. Now they don't wear stockings no more. You know what I'm saying? And I ask the question, well, what did the stockings do in the first place? They still showed your legs. But these things we argue and debate about, how we dress to go to church, and then somebody say, come as you are, which does not mean your dress. It means your heart. And so we have all kind of zeal, and zeal is simply enthusiasm. Some people just enthused. They enthused with hearing the choir sing. Some people don't even try sometimes to get the message that's brought forth over the pulpit. They just in love with going to church and sitting on their favorite pew and meeting somebody else there. But people have all kind of zeal. They're enthused about certain things. But the Paul went on to say they don't have the right knowledge, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When the Bible tells us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus made this salvation so simple You no longer had to cut your flesh, you know, without the shedding of blood. You know, it was no redemption. So they cut their flesh and they bled. And but he made it so simple that when he came, people stumbled over it. It was too simple. First of all, he came, you know, as a babe and in the stable, instead of riding on a chariot with six men carrying the chariot and dressed in purple with a diadem on his head. And it was too simple. It just couldn't be their Messiah. And still today, people do not receive Jesus Christ. And we know from the Old Testament that it was always trying to destroy even the very lineage that he was to come through to keep him from coming. But yet he's today, after all of the Herods and the Pharaohs trying to kill out all of the boys, he's still yet alive and well.
Come on now.
Glory to God. And he lives in our soul. He made it so simple. He just said, believe. Just believe on me. He told him one time, if you don't believe me who I am, just believe me for my work's sake, for all that I do and I've done and I'm doing. But it was so simple that they stumbled over it. Glory to God. It was so simple. Amen. The new covenant, the better covenant that Jesus brought to us, grace and truth, came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses, but a greater than Moses has come, and he gave us a greater, a better covenant. Hallelujah. My daddy would say right there, who wouldn't serve a God like that? Amen. Glory to
Hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We
have a responsibility to come, and we have a responsibility to believe. And I heard Dr. Singleton say we got a responsibility to walk and to live this life and live it in front of other people and not say, you know, do as I say and not as I do, because we should do the right thing because people are watching us. And if we say we have Christ, then a lot of time church folk is a stumbling block in people's way. We have so much zeal, but we need to get the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to know who he is. He is God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. He is Lord. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. We're going to acknowledge him as Lord now or later. It's up to us.
That's right. That's right. Every.
Glory to God.
Every knee.
Amen. Every. Nobody's going to be exempt. Amen. It doesn't care what your status in society, how much you got, how many degrees you got. How beautiful you are, it won't matter one iota. Bless the name of the Lord. But we're going to, amen, acknowledge it now or later. And I tell you, amen, it will be so much better for us if we acknowledge him now. If
Do
we
it now.
Believe, amen, he that believeth, amen. People say all the time, I believe in God. But do you believe it mean continually? Amen. Glory to God. Believe to the point that you do what he say do.
That's right.
Here, Paul is contrasting those that adhere to the word of God and to God's righteousness as opposed to man's attempt at his own righteousness. I hear people and I tremble at people say they don't need God. We are gods, and Jesus is a liar, and he can't save nobody. And oh, my God. God, it's going to be so bad for them in that day. Amen. Glory to God. And talking about the mouth and the heart, amen. Some people profess with their mouth. The Bible says they profess, amen, with their mouth, but they don't possess in their heart. Those things got to come together. They got to work as one unit. The mouth got to say and the heart grab a hold to it and believe in it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But I think one thing, and I'm going to be done with this. I enjoyed you all's walk through the word as you was expounding upon the word of God. What I thought about as you all began to talk, this Jesus, this Christ, this God in the flesh that came and walked before us and showed us the way. He said that the Old Testament is a schoolmaster. It teaches us. And so much of what God displayed in the Old Testament was a pattern of the things which was to come. And when we look at in the old Leviticus system when the priests and things had do the sacrifice and burnt offerings and offer up these sacrifices for atonement for people. But when they start, when God instituted that system, and the first fire that was started on those altars was started by God. He came, fire came from heaven and lit that altar, and the priests were to keep it burning 24 hours a day. Glory to God. It pointed to God and to Jesus, who he was, and as he was then, he is now. And when the fire came down and lit the altar and the priest, it in turn have to keep that fire burning. And, you know, the priests don't, we are priests. We are royal priesthood. And the fire that God lit way back then, he put it within our hearts. And we are to keep it burning. But I wanted to say that to say this, that it was always Jesus. Even before we called him Jesus, he was always in creating, and he was always in and involved in the salvation of men and of women. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And so we see that it has not changed. Even when he made the covenant with Abraham, who done it? Jesus, God done it. Entered into covenant with him and had to split the animal in half and each one walked through. But what did he do? He put Abraham to sleep. So it's all about Jesus. And today the gospel, the good news is all about Jesus. Those were patterns of how he would relate to us and how he would bring the gospel to us all by himself. He traded out the wine press alone. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's Jesus, but that's the one they've always tried to deny and tried to always get rid of and annihilate. But it's all about Jesus, the good news of the kingdom, the good news of the gospel. It's all about Jesus. 1 Timothy 3:16 said, great are the mysteries of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh. He preached unto the Gentiles, was believed on in the world. Hallelujah, received into glory. And I thank God for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. There are times when I was in situations. Amen. Glory to God. I know who to call on. My heart and my mouth is still confessing. And my heart is believing the same thing, that it is Jesus. It's Jesus in my soul. Amen. Glory Amen. To God. And I thank God, amen, that I know who Jesus is. There are people saying with their mouth, but their heart hadn't grasped it yet. They are saying and they're trying to earn their way to heaven by doing good work. Most times you ask people, well, I don't do nothing bad. I'm a good person. Amen. Glory to God. But we got to believe in the good person of Jesus Christ. We got to accept him as having done the work, as having done the sacrifice all by himself, what he started with the priest to help them to burn the fire on the altar. He's still today, amen, keep that fire burning within us when we do our responsibility to believe, to come, to go, to obey him, that, you know, he keeps that fire burning within us. But just as he did with the priest and lit that first fire, he was the one put that fire, that the 120 on the day of Pentecost, that they saw this fire like cloven tongue that sit upon them, the same fire that he lit way back for the priest to keep burning, amen, was the same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost and set upon them. And today he's in our heart. He lives within us. But the more they tried to destroy him, the more, amen, power it gave to his witness. Amen. Glory to God. Even the hell angels, when he was in the earth, I imagine they thought that they had him then. But on the third day, he said, no man take my life. I lay it down. Hallelujah. That I, God, might take it up again. And so I thank God for I have a zeal. I'm enthused. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody say emotionalism, but I am enthused. Amen. Just talking about the word, it brings a joy that make your feet want to move. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He tells us to rejoice in the Lord. We got a reason to rejoice, my brothers and my sisters, tonight. Amen. Let me tell you what they say about the book of Romans. They said if every other book in the Bible was done away with, we've got enough in the book of Romans. They call Romans a little Bible. There's enough in this book to teach us how we can get to heaven, how we can spend eternity with God. He tells us who instituted it, who done it. God done it.
Yeah.
And so the book of Romans is a powerful book, and it does have so much, even with the other books and letters and epistles. The book of Romans has so much teaching and instruction for us, and it is a powerful book, and I thank God for Pastor Kuiper leading us in this walk through this book. And so, Deb, you got so many names, and I don't know what to call you.
Amen, amen.
And that's a good thing. Pastor, amen, doctor, amen, minister, woman of God, amen, glory
amen.
To God. I thank God for both of you tonight for your input in this scripture to help us get a clearer revelation of what God is saying to us. And the only way we can begin to do and practice what God said is that somebody teach us. And I thank God for y'all teaching and as you reading the scripture and as you elaborating as you go. And thank God for Pastor that Kuiper that has journeyed with us thus through the 9th through the 10th tonight. I thank God for it. It's so much in the Word of God. And sometimes when you get to talking, you feel like you need to cut off, but there's always something that else that drops in your spirit. But I thank God that the covenant that Jesus brought us, he came down through 42 generations to bring it to us. Hallelujah. And no, I can understand after all he has done for us that people don't believe. And the Bible said that unbelief is a sin. And so I thank God for us. Because we realize without the Holy Spirit, without his spirit in us, we couldn't believe. We didn't just decide to believe, but he worked in us, his goodwill, his pleasure. He worked it in us. And I thank God for Jesus. Amen. He is my Savior, my Lord. Amen. And I don't have to wait till later to say that Jesus is Lord. Not only is he just Lord, because the scripture said he's Lord of my life. He's the Savior of my soul. And tonight I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. And I thank God, amen, for the work that he has done for us. And that's what the gospel is, just the good news of Jesus Christ, to instruct people that there is a better way and that God do not wish that any man should perish. And if we would just believe on him as the scripture said, we talk about witnessing. He said, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I thank God for living water tonight and all that Christ is and that he has done because he's not desirous of anybody to perish. God bless each of you. I pray that each of you will have a blessed rest of your week. And let us still continue to be careful. COVID is still alive, but so is God. RSVP is still alive. So let us, amen, be careful as we can. And then we can trust God to do the rest. But I thank God tonight that I know who Jesus is. Amen. He's Lord. Amen in my life. And I thank God for each of you. God bless you. Love each of you with the love of God. Have a great rest of your evening.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Reginald Kuiper. Dynamic trio, Pastor Reginald Kuiper, Dr. Deb, and Apostle Helene Adside for those wonderful words, wonderful walk in the word this evening. Thank you so
amen.
Much. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. So now we move on. Yes, sir.
I want to share this here. You know, when we are witnessing to people, when we are trying to share the gospel, to turn their lives around, we have to be very intentional, first of all, to free them from people. And what I mean by that, we have to get in their mindset, help them to understand that we are all God's creation, that no one is better than the other. I see the problem. People are so in bondage to people that look like them, walk like them, and talk like them. They are embarrassed, or they feel less than, because maybe when someone's witnessing to them, they are witnessing to them from a point of view that they're talking down to them. And we have to be humble. We have to make certain that we are being compassionate and listening more instead of talking more. We have to go to scripture. We have to let them know in Genesis 1:26 that God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. That means all persons are created equal and the same. And we must let them know that Romans 3:23-25 tells us, but we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And we have, because they're going to have questions. They're going to want to know, why did Jesus have to come on the scene? And we're going to have to be prepared to explain to them back in the biblical days about the animal sacrifices and why it was so important. But then we got to let them also know that we now have the blood bought right through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus, that we can go to God ourselves, that we no longer have to wait for a high priest to go into the holies of holies and pray for us, that we can. But we got the first freedom. And then we got to let them know, when they fall just like you and I, as Minister Deborah Sanders said, of 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, we, and I like what Apostle Epstein said about people having the zeal, but Apostle, I want to take a little bit further. We got to stop beating people up with false doctrine. Millicent Singleton said earlier, there's a lot of information out there, false information. People are taking the word of God and taking it out of context. I was in conversation with a relative the other week, and they was talking about a young lady who was going, first time getting married, and she was going to wear a white dress. And I don't understand why she's wearing a white dress, because she got 2 or 3 children. I said, well, her having 2 or 3 children ain't got nothing to do with her wearing a white dress. That's what she want to wear and wear, and that's what she want to wear and wear. But then we see other scriptures where it said women shouldn't wear pants in church. Where it said in the Bible, women should wear pants. This, that, and other. So we need to quit taking scripture out of context and beating people up, because that pushes people even further and further away from the knowledge of God. And then are able to convince them, we got to let them know how important it is for them to be in church with a body of believers and studying God's word. And the reason we have to do it, we got to be prepared to give them scriptures. And the ideal one that I come up with was Matthew 12:43-45, when it says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through a red place seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. That means the person who just gave himself over to Christ, if you don't feed that soul, if that person doesn't get into a Bible-based church and continue to study the word of God, and if people don't follow back with them, then what the demon is going to say, then it said, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, and the reason that person house is unoccupied because nobody followed with it. Hey, brother, how you doing today? Is there anything I can help you with? Is there anything in the Bible that you study that you didn't understand? See, we got to follow up with people, because see, if we don't do that, if we don't plant that seed, and if we don't water that seed by staying in contact with that new brother and sister in Christ, then Satan's going to come back. And then it goes on to say that then it goes and take with it 7 other spirits more wicked than itself. And then it goes and lives there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it would be with this wicked generation. And that's what we're seeing now. You got people going to church and they're leaving. You may see them 6 months to a year later because nobody followed up with them. The world's issue has just beat them up even more. Then when someone see them in the store from the church, what happened to you? You was coming to church for 2 weeks and then that ain't the way to, that's not the way to handle people, but we people do that. And then push people further and further in this path. So we got to be very careful. And we got to humble ourselves at all times because I know it. I get it. I get frustrated too. Trust me, I do. But we have to make certain that we are led by the Spirit, that we not be led by our flesh, that we not be led by our frustration. And I'm going to give this testimony to you that happened to me today, and I'm going to end it. I was in Enmark today. And Brother Connor and Pastor Kuiper and all you other brothers on the line, y'all know when I say this. I used to take my peace of mind with me, but for some reason, the peace of mind was left at the house today. And I went out Enmark, and there was a young man coming inside of Enmark, and there was an elderly lady behind me. He did have courage enough to say, excuse me, and he walked through the both of us. But when he proceeded to get something from over at the concession stand, he went to coughing and just really like he had some type of illness. But he really wanted attention. But I could look in his eyes and tell him he was high on something. But Brother Connor, I was aggravated the way he was acting. But when I looked at him, you know what the young man had? The young man had a pistol tucked in the right side of his pants, and he had a long clip hanging out. I said, now, this boy, him, he got a death wish because he came in the store to make a point. And the way he was acting, and then he came back. Oh, man, then this is what he said. He said, you all right? You're looking at me straight. Everything okay? I didn't say anything. Normally I would have, but see, I had my peace of mind at the house. But it was good that my peace of mind was at the house. In town, I would have dressed
all right,
in
man.
The store. But that let me realize right then that the Spirit of God is working in my life. Because, see, Satan wants to find an area of your life that you haven't really been able to yield to God yet. He wants to be able to find some way into your life to aggravate you, to push you to that point where you used to be. So that's why it is important that we humble ourselves at all times, because we never know what people are going through. We never know when people need a word from God, and we need to be prepared to give them scripture and give them examples, because we are living in some terrible times, y'all. And if we don't equip our young people, and we ain't going to have no future to look forward to. Thank you all for listening.
Amen. 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 Thank you for coming out for those words. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? If there's no one else, we move on to the praise reports this evening. I praise him. I have strength.
Thank you, Lord. This day, you woke me up this morning. I'm still in my right. I still have the use of activities in my limbs. My family's doing fairly well. I'm grateful for still being alive.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else? Man. It's good to be above ground. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Oh, prayer list. Do we have anyone be added to the prayer list this evening?
Yes, I would like to add my cousin, Shia Waddle. She was the young lady I had to pray for a few weeks ago. She was diagnosed with a rare type of cancer, and they started her on chemo last Friday, So she is, because she has been in a lot of pain. But her faith is strong, and so far she's resting a lot better. So I just want everyone to just keep her uplifted. She's 25 years old.
Amen. 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 Anyone else? If there's no one else, we have our scripture. Is this Brenda Williams on the line? Okay. She's not on. That time closes out. Our scripture this evening comes from Galatians 5, starting with the 16th verse. This I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Not now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, humiliations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, and envy, murders, drunkenness, feeling, reviling, such like of them, which I tell you before. As I have also told you in the past, they which do such things shall no longer inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance, against such things there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, affections, and lust. Sister Ruby, are you there? Apostle, are you there?
Yes.
Would you close us out, please?
Yes, sir. Father God, in the blessed name of Jesus, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we give you glory for who you are. We give you praise, God, for all that you do. We thank you, God, for every soul, every home that is represented on this land. We thank you for everyone that calls in continually, for all the ministers of the gospel that has come, that is coming, and will come. We lift you and we glorify you, God, for you have supplied our needs with men and women that will teach and, God, break down and rightly divide the word of truth, that we can get a greater revelation. We thank you, God, for the young lady, God, 25 years old, that body is racking in pain. You were wounded for transgression. You were bruised for the iniquity. God, the chastisement of peace was upon you, and with your stripes she's healed. We thank you, God. We pray that you will continue to comfort her. Glory to God. God, that you will give her a speedy healing, that you will respond to medication. In the name of Jesus, God, if it be not against your will, raise her up for your glory with a powerful testimony that she can, God, share with others that who her God is. We thank you for these things, God. We receive it by faith in the precious name of Jesus. And God, if there be any more sick that is on this line tonight that are ailing, that are hurting, we pray that you will touch them, God, with your mighty power. Oh, glory to God in the name of Jesus.
And we pray, Lord, for those that are troubled and oppressed and depressed.
Yes.
God, the
yes.
world is full of troubles and full of pains
oh, yes.
and woes and sorrows. But, God, you have both those things for us. And I pray, God, that many will be the beneficiary of what you have done for them, God, that they will receive by faith your finished work. And, God, we just
yes,
say
Lord.
Continue to hold this people in the hollow of your hand. God, you said those that you hold in your hand, no man can pluck them out. Hold them, God. Guide them, God. Continue to encamp your angels all around them by day and by night. God, put the angels on the four corners of their dwellings. God, as we go over the highways, that you will let your angels encamp in and around vehicles. Hallelujah. To bring them safely to their destinations and back to their place of board. God, we just thank you for all these things, for we trust you. Hallelujah. We trust in the promises of the living God. And God, we thank you that we have a Father that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. For
yes,
you have,
yes.
God, suffered all things just as we do, yet without sin. Help us to follow in
yes.
your footsteps, for you are our example. God, we love you. We thank you that you are our Savior and you are God. Be glorified in the lives of your people. God, I pray that you will continue to anoint your people, that they will, God, be the ministers and the people of God that you have called us to be. That when you come,
yes.
we can hear you say, come up hither, and we, God, will forever live with you. We thank you for your many blessings that you have bestowed upon all of us from our cradles even until now. God, continue to keep us, and we shall be kept. We bless you now for these things. We ask them in the matchless name of Jesus. We decree and declare them done by the word and the promise of God. Amen. God bless each of you.
Amen.
Have a great rest of your evening and week.
Amen.
Amen.
Again, thanks everybody for participating. We'll hear you again on Sunday. Good night. Love y'all.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Maria, Maddie.
Yes.
Yes.
Good night.
Good night, Miss Ruby.
Good night, Ruby.
Good
night, Maddie.
Thank you.